We just hit the 1 year anniversary since the first case of COVID-19 came into Alaska. Since then, we have heard the words quarantine, pandemic, and corona about 1,000 times. Our lives changed forever, and even today, we are still very much in this pandemic.
Very recently, a vaccine was created to fight the disease. In December of 2020, the first vaccines were given to Americans and across the world. You would think, great, now it's all over. But no, it's not over.
There has been a lot of controversy surrounding the vaccine since it came out. People thinking it would alter your DNA, people thinking it will give you COVID-19, and others just flat out don't want to take the vaccine. Because of this, the world is having a hard time reaching herd immunity.
Julie and I are too young to get the vaccine, but we wanted to know from a real doctor all the details of the vaccine to squash any myths and misinformation out there. We were lucky to get an on-phone interview with Chief Medical Officer Dr. Zink, MD.
The first thing we wanted to know was, why can't kids under 16 get the vaccine?
Oh, that's such a great question. It's because it hasn't been studied in kids under 16 yet. And the reason that those studies weren't first done in children is because people under 16 don't tend to get as sick. And so they started off looking at the vaccines in the people who got sickest, and those were older people. And they found it worked really, really well in adults, and so now they're studying it in kids. And if it looks like it works well in kids and it's safe in kids, then hopefully we'll offer it to those under 16 soon.
The flu vaccine has been around for years and years. Is the COVID-19 vaccine the same? How does it work?
The vaccine works. I kind of think about it like having a secret key to figure out how do you respond to this virus. So the COVID-19 virus, which is called SARS-CoV-2, is a whole bunch of RNA, all these kind of little proteins, and it's surrounded by fat, and it can get in your body, and it can make you really sick. I kind of think of seeing the virus as like a choose-your-own-adventure. And people's body responds in different ways, and it can make people really sick. But the vaccine gets just a little teeny bit of the virus. It's actually not even the whole virus. It's just a little mRNA, just a little message on a bit of the virus. It's in fact just the little spikes that come off of it, the little spike proteins that make this virus look like a crown, and that's why it's called a coronavirus. And in seeing that little tiny bit of spike, your body learns that that is something that could make you sick and could be dangerous. And so your body learns to make a strong immune response, a strong fighting defense against it. So if you see the coronavirus later, if you somehow get it, someone sneezes on you or coughs on you, or you touch something that someone else had touched that then has the virus on it, your body is all set to go if you've already received the vaccine. So kind of like studying for a homework assignment, you get all prepared and ready to go. So when you see that question on a test, the vaccine is kind of the same idea. It's like you kind of get the answer key on what you need to do to be ready in case you see it. So when your body sees the virus, it's already got the answer and it's set and ready to go. And the reason that we study the 1 and 2 shots is so kind of like remembering things for a test. You not only remember it in the short term, but you remember it in the long term. And by being able to remember the whole bit of it, you're able to fight it off even later when you see it. So it's kind of like teaching your body, like studying for a test beforehand, so that you're ready to go.
There's a lot of misinformation about the vaccine and what's in it. That the vaccine can cause cancer, that the vaccine can alter your DNA. So we wanted to know, what's in the vaccine?
So right now we have 3 vaccines that are available, and there's 2 different types of vaccines. One's called an mRNA vaccine, and the other one is called an adenovirus vector vaccine. So they kind of work in slightly different ways, and they have slightly different things in them. So the mRNA vaccines, and the 2 companies that make those are Moderna and Pfizer. Those are the 2 that are out right now. Those, all they have in it is this little bit of protein called mRNA that teaches your body how to fight it. And then it has a little bit of fat that surrounds it, and that little fat helps it to get in the cell. And then it has some salt and sugars that help to make it stable. And right before they give it to you, they put a little salt water with it so that they can dilute it out and get it into the needle and then be able to give it to you. The Johnson & Johnson one's a little bit different. That one's called an adenovector virus vaccine. And the reason it's called an adenovector virus is it has a virus in it, an adenovirus. And it's a virus that was designed to not be able to grow or what we call replicate, so it can't make more versions of itself. And in that virus, it has the same sorts of information about how to make the spike protein. And that virus then is shown to your body, and your body is able to make it. So they kind of work in the same idea that they're showing your body how to make the spike protein coronavirus and then your body responds and makes a good immune response to the spike protein. But how they get it to your cells is a little bit different. One is this mRNA surrounded by fat, and the other one's this adenovirus that has the kind of secret key in it to tell your immune system what to do.
Will we have to get the vaccine yearly like the flu shot?
Yeah, we don't totally know yet. A lot depends on what happens with this virus. So this virus is, again, an RNA virus. So RNA is a single strand that has the whole kind of story of how to make itself. And RNA viruses are very notorious for making mistakes when they copy themselves over, so they can make little changes. And sometimes those mistakes make it so the virus doesn't make us so sick or that it doesn't move so easily from person to person. But sometimes the virus, those little mistakes make it so the virus is stronger or it can move more easily from person to person or can make us sicker. And so the more COVID we have spreading around, the more chances that this virus has a chance to change or to mutate. And how often we need to get this vaccine or any vaccine for this virus will depend on how much this virus changes. So if we're going to need to get new vaccines to show kind of the new way that it's changed. And another thing that will depend on is how long your body remembers it. And right now the studies look like your body has a pretty good job remembering it, but we're just going to have to see. So some viruses like influenza, there's lots of different types of flu viruses that circulate around. And so every year we get a flu vaccine that has a couple different vaccines in it against different types of flu viruses depending what's changed. Then other viruses like the measles virus have never really changed very much since it first came out. And so you only get the shot when you're a kid and it works well for most of your life. And we don't have much of the virus circulating, so you only need to get it when you're a kid and you don't need it again. So that's we have to just see how this virus changes and we have to see how long your body remembers it at this time. So we'll see how long it lasts.
The vaccines being offered on St. Paul is the Moderna vaccine, and there's another one from a company named Pfizer.
It wasn't until we spoke with Dr. Zink that we truly understood what herd immunity is.
Yeah, so herd immunity, I think of it as kind of like thinking about like elephants or some animal, where you kind of are able to put those in the middle that might not be able to protect themselves. A whole herd circles around them and protects them. We see this happen with caribou, to some degree, we see a lot with elephants, we see with all sorts of animals, and it's the same idea with vaccines. And so you get the people that can get vaccinated, and then it protects the people who can't get vaccinated, because this virus only can live if it can grow inside of a person or an animal where it can continue to change and to grow. So if we have so many people who are vaccinated that the virus can't find a person to jump to, then it can't really move around and it dies off. And so then there's some people, like right now for kids, who can't get the vaccine. And so by all the adults getting it, they help to protect the kids who can't yet get it.
We were so happy to finally understand herd immunity that we made a PSA about it using elephants as a metaphor. It's been documented that children don't get as sick when getting COVID, and we wanted to know why.
Other coronaviruses do move easily between kids and cause a lot of colds. But it does not look like this virus makes kids as sick, and we're starting to see more information that particularly younger kids have a harder time actually spreading it to others. They're less likely to spread it. We don't know all the reasons now, but we know a couple things. We know the older someone is, and honestly, the heavier they are, the more they weigh, the more they can spread this virus from one person to another, just the way their airway is structured. So kids tend to be smaller, they tend to be lighter, and they're younger. So they probably don't have nearly as much virus. The other thing is that little spike protein that we keep talking about on this coronavirus, they use different cells to enter. And this virus, the SARS-CoV-2, is similar to the old SARS virus, SARS-CoV-1, in that it enters the cell on a little tiny receptor called an ACE receptor. And this is a receptor that lives in the bottom parts of our lungs. It lives a little bit in our gut, in our kidneys. And that is how this virus gets into our body. Kids don't have very much of that receptor. So particularly kids less than 12 just don't even have that receptor in their body whatsoever for it to enter. So it's kind of like kids don't have the door for the cell to enter in the same sort of way or the same numbers as adults. And so we think that's part of the reason that kids are probably more protected than adults from this virus.
In order for St. Paul to reach herd immunity, a certain percentage of the island has to get vaccinated. And since children and immunocompromised people cannot get it, we have to rely on healthy adults. City manager Phil Zavidal was one of the first people to get the vaccine when it came to the island. He's also the incident commander for the Unified Command Team, a team put together a year ago this month when COVID got to Alaska. Because the vaccine was very new at the time, we wanted to know if he had any hesitations about getting the shot.
No, because I think I did the research prior to getting or receiving the vaccine. So I knew it was safe. I knew the potential side effects from the vaccine, and it didn't scare me away from getting the vaccine.
Caden and I were curious about the side effects of the vaccine, especially the second dose.
Oh, let me tell you. So the first shot, no big deal. I got it in my right arm, and it was a little bit more sore than when I got the flu vaccine. And it lasted for about 3 days. So no big deal. Went about my business. Then when I got my second shot, that was in the afternoon. And then the next morning, about 11 o'clock, I just kind of felt really tired. Then I started to develop some headaches. Felt a little bit nauseous, but not like I was going to throw up or anything. And just like tired all day. I think I tried to sleep a few times. Then I went to bed about 7:30. Woke up the next morning about 7 o'clock and everything was fine.
One of the main reasons people aren't getting the vaccine is because they don't know what's in the shot. Or they're on the fence and need more convincing. We asked Mr. Zavidal what he could tell those people who are unsure.
I would say talk to your provider and get the information. I would say that getting the vaccine protects them. It protects others. Getting COVID is probably, you probably don't want to take that chance of getting COVID. You could be one of those people that, no big deal. You could end up in the hospital. You could end up 6 feet under. You could end up having long-term effects from it. So the vaccine, we know the known side effects. Some people might have a bad reaction. Bad reaction would normally occur within that 15 to 30 minute window. That means you might be allergic to something in the vaccine, and there are no long-term known effects from the vaccine right now. Long-term effects for vaccines in general are about 6 weeks. So you hear them talking about a booster. Do you need to get every year? Some of that's unknown right now, but the vaccine doesn't stay in your system forever. So I would encourage them to talk to their healthcare provider, you know, get them all the information they need. But realizing the more people that get the vaccine, the more people that are protected from the virus and that we're protecting others that can't get the vaccine.
There are some elders who can't get the vaccine for one reason or another. But there are still a lot of elders who are eligible. We went to see St. Paul Elder Gregory Fadis Sr., an avid speaker on the island, and asked him why it was important for elders to get vaccinated.
It's very important that us elders, we do receive it. Otherwise, I mean, just plain simple, we'll die. It will take our life. So I would urge all elders, you know, I think all of them have received it, so that's why I took mine. So you want to see me around St. Paul for a while, don't you?
Did he have any physical symptoms after the second dose?
Nothing, just pain in the arm. I thought I had headache, you know, just pain in the arm. That's it, where they gave me the shot. The sooner you get vaccinated, the sooner everything will open, will go back to normal. I want that. Talked with the city clerk. We should start opening like basketball. We start that. The people are tired of this year, staying home, being on lockdown. I mean, we got to open up now. Basketball and go back to the carnivals we missed. Have them. And dances. I love to dance.
So we've covered the experience of an adult and an elder. Caden and I are too young to receive the shot, but I would like to say that if I had the opportunity, I'll get the COVID-19 vaccination to help my family stay safe. Caden, would you get the shot?
I would, because I am so sick of COVID and I want to go back to playing school sports and traveling.
If you can get the vaccine, do it.
Normalcy is right on the horizon, and we can get there one vaccine at a time.